Oh, what's this? We've got some strange signals coming in on the transporter. Someone's beaming aboard. It's... Christopher Hastings?
Hello, I'm so thrilled to have had my entire body killed. The data from its molecules transmitted and then converted into an entirely new being. That's how it works. I'm Christopher Hastings.
Oh, what's this? Someone else is coming in on a shuttle. It's pulling in right now. The doors are opening. Oh, it's Allie Fisher.
I was on a shuttle, and now I'm back on the bridge.
She's doing it! And what's this? Someone is trapped in a radioactive chamber, slowly dying.
Oh, no.
And putting his hand up to the glass. Why, it's Branson Reese.
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Oh, he'll always be my friend.
And I'm Worf. Welcome, everyone. I'm Joe Lepore. Welcome, yeah, everyone.
Jorf Lepore.
Jorf Lepore. Of House Moog. Son of Moog. We are here taking a break from our usual Oh, These Those Stars of Space adventures and turning instead to those works that inspire us, the shoulders upon which we stand. And so today we have gathered together and we are going to be doing our first ever Star Trek draft.
Woo!
A Star Trek draft?
Yeah, Chris. Yeah, what it means is like we're gonna draft shit and it's gonna be like Star Trek themed. I don't know what to tell you, man.
You mean like how a baseball team drafts players?
Yes, but instead we'll be drafting our own starship bridge crew.
Wow.
What a thrill.
Can I say I just had my fantasy baseball draft?
Yeah.
This is the first year, it's my third year in a row doing it.
Okay, first Captain year. Sisko. Baseball.
You know what? Usually I'd fly into a rage, but that's actually a really good riff.
That was close.
That was close. Luckily, there's a whole country between us. But I, ooh, oh, I, you know what? Forget where I was going. We're talking Star Trek.
We did want to do something like this last year, I remember, but the strikes.
Right.
We weren't talking about Star Trek.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to talk about TV shows.
Can I also say, as somebody directly impacted by that strike, I appreciate our spirit there.
Yeah.
I would have been fine. I think it would have been okay.
Yeah. I know. There's there's the possibility of like the idea that we would have inspired enough people.
I know.
To go watch Star Trek, yeah, that it would break the strike. Is laughable, but you want to be there in solidarity.
Absolutely. No, of course. I'm glad we didn't. It was the right move for sure. It's just one where I was like, ooh, you know, I did want to talk about Star Trek.
But now we're here. The strike is over. The Teamsters haven't gone on strike yet. So here we are. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do it. Do we want to say what everyone's pulling from? Do we want to talk about like what our like Star Trek go-tos are?
I would love to know what's everyone's Star Trek that they grew. Cause you know, you got your,
yes,
like if you, what's your series? Who are your guys?
I, as a boy, came to the Next Generation, as so many did. Mm-hmm. And many you imagine continue to do. When I was a kid, I definitely like the original series was on Sci-Fi a lot, but it felt too old. It felt too old fashioned.
Yeah.
It didn't get me. I did like the original series movies.
Yeah. Sure.
But the All show was just a little too at the time it felt a little too hokey.
I mean, okay, all of them are good. Allie, I don't. Yeah. I resent the tone of that riff. Like, they're all good. Final Frontier is good. They're all good.
Great. Good to hear. I mean, continue, Joe. I have thoughts, but
yeah. And then Deep Space Nine, I watched in its entirety when I was studying abroad and ran out of money. And then in a very similar way, in 2018, I quit my job and didn't have another thing lined up. And just because I had to get out of that company. And in that window, I watched all of Voyager.
I would say Star Trek in general is unemployment's best friend.
Yeah.
I think there is like a real hand-holding situation.
Daytime
is it the
television.
Number of episodes? Maybe.
Allie, what's yours?
So I was not so childishly youthful coming to Star Trek. I feel like I didn't come to Star Trek until like college time. And I did watch the original series first and loved it and was like, who are these next gen idiots? Don't care for them. Watched that and then was like, obviously better. And then that's sort of where that became like my anchor show, you know?
Yeah.
But I will say, at this very moment, I'm watching.
Yeah, I didn't want to talk to this. I didn't want to talk about this.
Every night, I am watching Enterprise, and it is a fun slog, which I'm not sure quite how else to describe it. Like, I'm enjoying it, and I'm happy, and I'm having a great time being like, what is going on here? But there is, I won't say that's my favorite. It is just absolutely top of mind. So get ready for some Enterprise riffs.
Great. Like what I've seen has not inspired me to continue. What I want to ask is like, are there particular characters that you are like, I actually do like these characters. I like these actors. Are there like good episodes? Are there good storylines? Is there like, oh, season three is actually like things kind of pick up or like what's.
Okay.
Is it just cozy?
It's like, this is the universe I know. More adventures. So we're only in season two, but something that I have found very fun about this series is right from the beginning of season one, you kind of feel like you're already in like season 10, like weird, like historical flashbacks. And like, there's things going on where you're like, interesting. I would have expected this when you ran out of ideas.
Yeah. Well, now, I mean, it was
they
like,
might have started out of ideas.
Well, exactly. And to be totally honest, like I am enjoying it. I don't have like a ton of favorites on the show, but every night I come crawling back. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I can't judge you.
Thank you.
There will come a time where I like try it out.
Absolutely.
I just haven't gotten there yet. And right now that show for me is like MTV's The Challenge. So I have no like this is a no judgment zone.
Great. Good.
I also really enjoyed the original series as a kid. I did not grow up in a household that had television. We grew up in the middle of the woods, where no network TV nor cable could reach us. But whenever I would go to my grandparents' house, I would just soak up as much TV as possible. And I don't, maybe it was on Nick at Night, because I would just put on Nickelodeon all day long. And I also absorbed a lot of fun TV, leaving that on to Nick at Night, like Get Smart. I would watch a lot of Get Smart, or the 1960s Batman TV show I would see reruns of. I have a feeling I somehow absorbed the original series the same way. And also, you know, watched those movies. I watched the Next Generation movies before I ever watched the TV show.
I didn't know that.
And liked those. I watched Star Trek Nemesis before I ever watched Next
really?
Gen. Yeah. Those
so
movies...
your like entry point to Star Trek The Next Generation is bald Tom Hardy.
Well, no, because I saw Generations before.
Because Generations. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I got to see Nemesis sort of good.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's not a hill I'll die on, but it's a hill I'll have a little like slap fight on.
Yeah, but like I liked the Star Trek movies. And again, I just did not have TV to watch these shows as a kid.
There you go.
And so my big teenage thing was a friend of my dad's had taped every single episode of Babylon 5. And that was my primetime Star Trek-y teenage experience, was watching all that. My family, we were very much a Babylon 5 household. Which, that was something we all bonded over.
Which I should say, to like alongside Allie, like I am also, I am in season 2 of Babylon 5 right now. Babylon 5 is my Enterprise.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Your dinner show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried watching that pilot. Oh boy. Yeah, it's tough. Like the prose of Heart of Darkness. I like could not get through it, you know?
Yeah. Thick.
That's fair. Yeah. And I got into it because I was sick as a kid. Like, yeah. It's like we just had, again, mm-hmm. there was an entire bookshelf full of VHS tapes from my dad's friend. And yep. I was like, well, I guess I'll start watching this. There's nothing else to do now that I'm sick. And then we all really got into it. But yeah, I only started watching Next Gen maybe when I was like 30 years old. And that was a big comfort show and really took my time with it. And then started watching Deep Space Nine when the novel coronavirus problem started to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's when I started The Expanse.
There you go.
Let's get off this planet.
Were you one of the
That's when I caught up with Discovery.
Astroturfed people dancing?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-oh. Oh, wasn't there like a thing that like read from me as like somebody on the show payroll paid for it of people doing whatever like The Expanse dance is like in Times Square when it got canceled?
I have to look this up immediately. I don't know.
Okay.
Sounds cool.
Well, I thought that it would have legs.
I only recently finished Deep Space Nine within the past couple of months. I really put it off. I really let it, like, I would come to it and walk away for a while for when I would need it. Mm-hmm. And then most recently, I've really been enjoying Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks. I have a lot of new episodes to get through on those, and I'm so thrilled. They're great.
Excellent.
Brandon, you watch any Star Trek?
I watch a lot of Star Trek. I grew up with it. My mom was like, my mom wasn't like a Trekkie, you know, because that's like, there's like a cultural thing to that. But she grew up watching it, and her brothers really liked it, and so I grew up with the original series. Sort of like Chris, I don't know exactly how I was watching it, but I know I was watching it. I don't remember it. Like maybe Nick and I just was like a kid and I would see them a lot. And there's something about the sound design for it I still find a little scary. It just feels so empty. The ship feels so empty.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I liked that. I liked the way it was scary to me, you know, and I liked the colors and the sort of swinging 60s vibe. Like, it just was my favorite as a kid, and we had the movies and I loved the movies, and I just like that cast just made the most sense to me. And I, when the J.J. Abrams one was coming out, I was an actor already. And my mom was like, you've got to audition for Spock. And I was like, Mom, I don't think that's how that was. It's very like, why don't you just send a letter to Lorne Michaels and get on SNL? You know, like. She was like, you just should audition for Spock. I was like, I just don't think a 19-year-old who nobody's heard of is going to get it, but I'll try. And then, you know, I don't remember. I think I didn't get it.
Yeah.
I don't remember
if I
what
recall,
happened.
Let's look it up.
We'd have to go to IMDb, but we can't right now.
So it was that one. And then, like, Next Gen was just sort of...
Hold on, but hold on though. What, I do want to say, like, you have mentioned that to me before, and it is... The craziest part about that to me is that your mom wasn't saying, you should try out for Bones.
I know, right? You'd think she would have met me. The character who's like extremely stoic in a way her son hasn't been since like birth. Like,
yes. But he has a biting wit, Branson.
He does, but I came out screaming. That is the main thing about me.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm as shocked as you are, but to this
playing
day, she said,
you playing Spock feels like a prison.
Yes, yeah. I agree. It feels
like although Spock feels like he's in a prison, right?
Oh, yes. I think he loves it. I think
it's
Nimoy loves it.
Because he's half human.
Oh, well, Nimoy loves it, but I'm talking about Spock.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
We got it. Yeah, but that was the one. I agree. Right. More of a bones. But the Next Gen was on all the time. And it just like that theme song just sounds like the early 90s to me. You know,
yeah.
I just like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
It sounds like kindergarten to me or like what parents were listening to. So I didn't really watch it. But then when those movies were coming out, I was aware of them. And then by the time I started like watching, a little older, it was like, it was the dying days of Voyager and Enterprise was starting up. I saw some of Enterprise when it was coming out and Farscape. I really liked yeah. Farscape when it was airing.
Huge, huge Farscape stan as well. That one
and
really got me.
On some level, I like didn't totally understand that Farscape wasn't Star Trek, even though it like obviously isn't. I just like,
yeah,
I don't know. It was like this, the fun one.
and the then puppet one.
Recently in, speaking of when my wife and I were both out of work, we tore through Deep Space Nine and it fucking rules. That's sort of my favorite yeah. one. But yes. No, it's original series is my guy.
Yeah. All right. We've laid the groundwork.
Can I say one yeah. more thing about Enterprise?
You don't have to apologize to talk about Star Trek on the Star Trek draft.
I'm sorry. I just got to get in here. Are you all familiar with the title song for Enterprise?
Yeah. We've.
Have we discussed this?
We've gotten into this on this here podcast.
It's interesting the way that songs can simply become a part of you because I love it now. Yeah. But I did recently find out it was rejected from Patch Adams.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Did that come
up? It was rejected from Patch Adams and then yeah. they picked it up for the show.
Yeah. I saw Patch Adams in theaters. That was the first movie I saw as a child where I was like, oh, movies can be bad.
Oh, I'm so glad you ended that sentence that way. I thought, because I was about to say like, oh, mine was Back to the Future. Oh, and they're like, oh, that could be bad. Oh,
okay. yeah. No, I had seen it, but no, that was the one I saw in theaters where I was like, oh, they can suck? Interesting. Like, oh, wait, actually some movies I've already seen might suck. I didn't know that was like an option. Like that, the yeah. idea that anything was not good enough for Patch Adams is like horrifying.
Gosh, I love that you hold that memory. I think that's like really important to an artist, to a creator, to like, to develop that taste of like, oh, something can be bad and also like be made.
Yeah.
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 I also have I'll let us get to the draft, but seeing Baby Geniuses in theaters with my mom. And it was the first time I ever heard her swear. And I don't remember what happened, but it's the guy who did Porky's and Black Christmas, which is a good movie. But it's, you know, way later in his career.
Sure. Making some money.
It's made a little cash. I remember sitting in the theater with my mom and her just going, what is this shit? And she took me and we left. I've never seen the end of Baby Geniuses.
Hell yeah.
I love your mom.
Yeah.
What a woman.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right. Are we ready for some frickin' rules?
Yes.
Okay. Patch Adams draft rules. Everyone must draft a patch.
One Patch Adams.
Who will be the doctor?
Everyone must draft one child with an incurable disease.
Perfect.
Everyone must draft laughter, the best medicine.
Okay, I've got cancer, Pagliacci.
Yeah, really good, really good. Okay. This is a bunch. I'm going to go as fast as I can. I will not pause for questions. We can discuss after. Hold your questions until after the presentation.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
Star Trek draft rules. This will be a snake draft. So we will go, like, I'm picking a fake order, but if it's me, Allie, Branson, Chris in the first round, the second round will then reverse, so it will then be Chris, Branson, Allie, Joe, and then Chris will pick twice in a row, even though he's going last. That's how you make that happen. We will each draft a crew of 7 officers to helm your starship. Your crew must fill the following roles: Captain, executive officer / security officer, science officer, ship's doctor, chief engineer, a sort of soft skills officer, your Guinans, your Neelixes, your Uhuras, and a wild card. Pretty much anyone who's ever been in a Star Trek can, you know, you can do anything there. These roles may be drafted in any order, but failure to draft each of these positions will result in an invalid draft slate and immediate ejection from the draft.
Do we have to leave?
Yeah. I'll kick you out of the Zoom.
OMG.
Babylon who? Battlestar Galacta what? Only characters from Star Trek series and films are eligible for this draft. Firefly is in the jar. Han Solo, a no-no.
This is even more fun because we had to read these on our own, but getting Joe to read them really jazzes me up.
Allie, no questions.
The JJ decree. Compliments allowed. Eligible series and movies for this draft must take place in what is commonly understood as the main Star Trek universe. The JJ Abrams versions of characters are not eligible.
No Kelvin. Woo!
For each slot, the character must reasonably be able to serve in that role. For example, Beverly Crusher could conceivably serve as your captain, but Jean-Luc Picard could not be your doctor.
So true.
Okay, but we can make compliments.
You can make arguments that someone can fill a role.
Yeah.
You will get pushback if it's like, I'm trying to think, if you're trying to have Miles O'Brien's 5-year-old daughter be your chief engineer, you know,
cave woman.
Okay, this is the supplement to that rule. Quarks on the bridge. Trek characters who are not Federation officers but could serve in these roles are eligible. These characters are also eligible to be your wildcards. Distribution. Your crew cannot come exclusively from one series.
Mm-mm. Smart.
Allie, this can't be the whole crew of the Enterprise. I'm sorry.
Shoot. Can I have 5 hours?
Yeah. Yeah, Ali is watching all of Voyager at 3x speed. Just writing Harry Kim, Harry Kim, Harry Kim, Harry Kim.
Wow, he's in this a lot.
Yeah. Draft exclusivity. Once you draft a character, no other player may draft that character to their crew. This includes time travel / mirror universe / alternate future counterparts. There are some additions to this rule. First off, Sulu's rule. If a character has multiple jobs over the course of their Starfleet career, that does not mean they are eligible multiple times. Hmm. If Chris drafts Sulu as his helmsman, Allie cannot draft movie Sulu as her captain, etc.
Brutal.
Combs's bylaw. Different characters played by the same actor are eligible to be drafted alongside each other or by different players.
I want an all Combs.
Branson could draft Wei-Yun and Brunt, both played by Jeffrey Combs, if he chooses. Uhura's corollary. When a single character is played by different actors, those different performances are considered one character. If the original series Uhura is drafted, Strange New Worlds Uhura is ineligible. The Riker exception.
Here we go.
Because William Riker gets split into two people in that one episode and his double, Thomas Riker, goes on to live a separate individual life from the point of that split, for the purposes of this draft, both Rikers are eligible.
Yes.
You are allowed to name your ship.
We were allowed?
Yeah.
I misread that before. I thought we had to. I love it.
There's no penalty for naming the ship.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate the clarifications about the mirror universe.
I will put these rules in the show notes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Because I did move through them like a man in trouble. So you'll have them. Or if you want to play along at home, you can use the rules for that.
Please.
That sounds, I'm very excited. I gotta say, I did that, Joe, for you and Tim's X-Men draft. It is so frustrating to play along, picking characters that you guys are still allowed to pick, but I'm not allowed to pick who you just said.
Yeah.
I really love the current Star Trek comics that are coming out from IDW.
Ooh.
In part because I think they are doing exactly this. They are doing, it's like, let's come up with the most fun mishmash of characters to be on the Defiant.
That's great.
And I'm excited to get to play with my pals here tonight.
Okay. I have rolled a 100-sided die.
Here we go.
4 times.
What ranges are we?
So Branson got a 17, Chris got a 27, I got a 55, and Allie got an 89.
Okay.
So the order will be Branson, Chris, Joe, Allie.
Wait, but my number's bigger.
Yeah, but I was like, one is the best. One is first.
That's first only in golf. Ugh, okay, fine.
But then, Allie, at the second round, you go last first round. Second round, you go first.
Okay, I'm just nervous. Mine already came up a little bit. One of mine came up a little bit, so it's okay.
Okay.
All right.
Spock.
Spock.
I was hoping nobody would think of Spock.
Oh, you guys aren't, like, seriously picking Spock for anything, right?
Well, no.
No, that's fine if you want to pick Spock. I don't know, your first day, like, in Star Trek. But no, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's
it's cool. For first day.
It's a little pedestrian to like Spock.
Okay, no, cool. Is your favorite band the Beatles?
Yes.
Guy Normal over here?
Yeah. That was what he started at. He was such a mean-spirited intent for that character.
Does anybody have any questions now that we've gotten here?
I don't want to ask a question and have you say no, because I got what I'm going to do.
So you do have questions, so... but you know the answer is probably no.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually.
Allie's like somberly crossing out R2-D2 on her notebook.
You know what, Joe? I have a question. I don't know if we should just wait till this comes up, if it comes up, or if I want to ask it now.
Ask it now.
Okay, I'm going to ask now. A antagonistic character to Federation or to Star Trek, would we have to make some sort of argument as to why they're on this ship?
Don't ask this question.
Branson, don't fuck up my whole thing.
And Branson, listen, I know the guy making the rules. Do not ask this question. Because, okay. I have a bunch of villains that...
I think we all have villains. Okay, this is very interesting. Ooh, good teaser for our
Oops, all
our
villains
plans.
Draft. Fuck. Okay.
You think I wasn't going to draft messy bitches? Are you kidding me?
Joe, the messiest bitch who lives for drama?
Yes. Okay.
We got to get into it. I'm dying to know
Let's
where.
Do it. Let's do
okay.
it.
Okay.
Let's go.
Branson, you have the honors.
You have
Taking
the con.
Away.
You have the first pick.
I'm so stressed.
Everyone is available.
No.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to grab my medical officer right out the gate.
Okay.
Nancy Reese was wrong. I'm grabbing Bones.
Nice.
Good.
Okay.
Good choice.
And I'm going to go ahead and scratch him off my list. He's got Dr. McCoy.
I mean, people were saying he was going to go early in this draft. That's not a surprise.
People are right. Yeah. Sometimes Duke wins, dude. It just happens,
It is. I am a little okay, now people are off people are coming off the board. And Allie, I don't know if you're I'm picking third.
I'm so stressed.
That's a great pick, Branson.
It's a great pick.
I got to say, I'm not playing dirty. If Tim was here, I'd be playing so nasty. I'm really trying to be a good sport here. Yeah.
You said, I want a good doctor to be my doctor.
Exactly.
And you picked one.
Okay. All right.
A racist doctor. But anyway.
We do things a little different on my ship.
Oh, he's not allowed to talk about green bloods on your ship?
Okay, yes.
Chris?
All right.
You have the second choice.
I'm worried about Chris.
I got to go soft skills for my number one.
Interesting.
Because my number one, my absolute top priority is I need to have ship's counselor, Vic Fontaine.
Fuck!
Oh!
Fuck! No!
I need to have Vic Fontaine on my ship. And I knew you sons of bitches were going to go for him too. And that is why I had to... He's the best person I've ever known. He is so good. He is the core to the entirety of my ship's morale. He is the heart of my ship, Vic Fontaine. Yes.
I was saying to you, Chris, before we started recording, that one of the fun things about this is in the past where we've done some of these kind of abstract drafts, kind of broad drafts, where people have a lot of latitude. Are great, but this one, there are, if we take the four, let's be honest, the four core Star Trek series, and we have four people drafting, it's inevitable there will be favorites will get taken, and I am immediately a victim to that because I definitely had Vic Fontaine.
I knew you would. I knew at least somebody would, and that's why I had to prioritize him.
I also had him as ship's counselor for as number one seed for me for soft skill because that episode.
Yeah, so you know we all like chat outside of these podcasts, and like there was that episode, and I said to you all, Vic Fontaine is a better person than Superman.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, etc. Just
a child soldier comes to him and says, I have PTSD from the war. And he says, not anymore, you don't.
Come hang. Yeah, he just lets him hang out in fake Vegas or whatever that is. It's incredible. Like what a truly decent person. A hologram.
There is also like Star Trek has played no better joke on the nerds than going to the Mirror Universe, having human Vic Fontaine show up, not explain that he's not a hologram, and then immediately kill him.
Incredible. Well, not only does he not explain, they ask him, they're like, wait, aren't you a hologram? And he says, I can explain, daddy. And then he gets shot. Pew, pew. And dies.
I also love that he's got like fucking Buck Rogers guns, you know?
Yeah.
Like, awesome. It's a perfect mix of unanswered questions.
Yeah. The other one they do with that I think is so funny is the Trouble with Tribbles like flashback thing they do in Deep Space Nine.
Mm-hmm. That's such a great
And they're talking to Worf and they're like, why do the Klingons look like that? And he says, the Klingons consider that a private matter.
Yeah, we don't talk about it.
Which was all it ever needed. And then since that moment, Star Trek has spent 20 years like fucking that answer up.
It is all wasted time because everyone knows the real answer and it's not interesting.
Yeah,
the makeup budget improved.
Yes.
grow up. Yeah, I was like, oh, we decided to take this more seriously is the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, fuck. It's my turn.
I can't believe you guys are just chatting. I'm just sitting here sweating.
Yeah. I now feel pressure. And I'm like, do I pull from one of these categories? Because people that I had listed for those categories are already gone.
Yeah.
Or do I hope that like my alternates will stay?
Mm-hmm.
I am going to draft. Fuck. This is hard, and I set it up.
You draft one hologram, and Joe loses it.
His house of cards keep tumbling down.
Yeah.
Oh, also, I would give him a robot body so he could walk around the ship.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. That's nice. Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. I don't want to fuck this up. If I lose this, then I'm in big trouble. So I am going to draft as my doctor. Since Branson already took McCoy, I'm going to draft as the doctor, the doctor.
Yes.
Okay.
He deserves to go first round.
Good call. Very good.
Excellent.
The emergency medical hologram.
Absolutely.
One of the few redeeming qualities of Voyager.
Truly.
And if McCoy's off the table, I got to have him.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice work. Good pick.
Thank you.
Okay, thank God.
Drafted two holograms.
Oh, yeah. Not the only one I have on my.
Yeah, me neither.
I got a fun wild card waiting.
Speaking of wild card, I'm jumping right in. I'd like to draft God, Father to All, from Star Trek V, The Final Frontier.
Baby.
Villain, Eldritch being, fatherly energy.
Why does God need a spaceship?
This is like the fucking Halloween draft where you drafted the sense of unease.
Like, well, that's off the table now.
Well, I just feel like big, powerful God guy.
I think you're smart. Allie, I very much like where you're coming from.
Thank you. I just think, wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
Here's the question.
Oh, no.
Here's the question I'm going to ask about that pick, Allie.
Okay.
Which is...
I'm prepared for no questions, so this is going to be interesting.
Okay. The rule about the character reasonably serving in that role.
Yes. Wild card.
I guess you get it.
Yeah.
I guess I can't. Fuck.
Can I ask, though? Hold on. I'm not even trying to gum you up, Allie.
Okay.
wild card, what yeah. role? Like, that implies a role.
Yeah.
Like, counselor.
Yeah.
No, I guess that's soft skills.
Are you there, God? It's me, Worf.
That's like I hired Stephen Hawking to predict, like, to figure out the tip for my dinner bill.
Yes, exactly.
But that is a good point. That is a good point. Because God in Star Trek V is, like, basically like a big galaxy.
Yeah.
Question of this guy, like, being on your bridge.
Yeah.
This being, okay.
Big bridge.
Okay, Allie gets God.
Yeah. Yay!
Which is gonna put a lot in your favor.
Ba-na-na-na.
In terms of winning this draft.
We know yeah. that particular entity has its limits. Come on.
Yeah, he needs a spaceship.
Won't be acknowledging. Okay, then I'm
Allie,
gonna...
were you worried that someone else was gonna draft God?
I was positive. I was like, all these guys could go for God.
Not me.
No.
You grew up in the church and you don't love it. You never go back.
Yeah, I guess I didn't. The church was, like, fine.
Oh, we've talked about that. You were Presbyterian. Yes.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of pressure. So I think God's, like, chill.
I hate that so much.
We're just coming from different worlds.
I know.
Okay, Captain, is it time?
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
okay.
You can now make your, I mean, you the, making the first pick of
you
round
make the
two.
Time.
Allie, it's, you have the board.
Okay, Captain, Ishka, Quark's mom,
fuck!
DS9, Ferengi.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
She's Allie, progressive.
I had
She's
moved
ambitious.
In for one of mine.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
You took
Chris.
Her out.
Progressive, ambitious, she wears clothes. She yep. exerted yep. significant influence with Grand Nagus Zek. Zek, mm-hmm. is that how you say it?
Yep. Yeah, Zek. Yep.
Proving her persuasive political maneuvering, they were also romantically entangled, aka great TV. Most importantly, Yay. She would finally make Enterprise profitable.
Oh, well yeah. done. Well done.
Finally. Yeah.
Good you have a better argument for her than I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also,
oh my gosh,
the great
so
Andrea Martin.
Now.
I was talking about Black
oh
Christmas
God.
A second ago.
Mm. Yeah. And also the woman who impersonated her.
Oh, yeah, because they couldn't get her back.
A very yes. good impression.
It is pretty good.
Excellent work all around, really.
Yes, so, well no, this is, what is this? I believe this is Sulu's corollary, right? Like, we yeah. can't grab that one.
Yes,
no.
correct. No. Okay, I feel so much better. Now, I'm still nervous, okay. but that really put me in a place where I'm like,
you
I got
God,
God
and Moogie.
And I got Ishka, and now I'm like.
God and Moogie.
Yep.
Okay, it's back to me. I'm still in a place of low-key panic. So I have to have a big gun. And I have to take it before this person is off the board.
Okay.
So I am going to I just have to do this. I'm drafting for my captain, Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise.
A classic.
Beautiful work.
Didn't even bother to write him down, to be honest.
Yeah, me neither, man. You got him, dude.
Me neither.
My list of yes. captains, he is ranked fifth because I just assumed he would have been taken.
Yes.
But this is what, you know what? Joe mm-hmm. is the Smart. One who asked the prom queen to prom. Like, nobody
oh,
thinks to
yes.
do it.
Yes, very true.
Oh my God.
Damn. I lament my other captain options. It was tough. It was really
you
tough.
You gotta get while the getting's good.
When are we gonna yeah. do at the very end, are we gonna do like this is who we lost or like
yeah, we can do like
a
some
bit
honorable
of
mentions. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I do want to specify when I say I'm drafting Jean-Luc Picard, I am talking like season
three
or five Jean-Luc. No, Chris, no. I'm talking about prime Star Trek The Next Generation Jean-Luc Picard.
You're talking
I'm
about
not
the
talking
Nemesis
about movie
clone.
Picard. I'm not talking about any clones. I'm not talking about the elderly Jean-Luc Picard that gets hit by a car in 2024 Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Well, I feel better.
Good. I'm glad you got Picard.
I feel better having Jean-Luc in my corner.
Very good.
back to Chris.
Yes, thank you. I am also ready to draft my captain, Khan Noonien Singh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, dude.
Thought about it a lot.
Yeah, Khan is my captain, baby. Mm. We do not outlaw genetically modified superior captains on this ship.
Here's the thing, though. If I'm the rest of your crew, I'm worried I'm getting sacrificed.
They're fine. Don't worry. Okay. He's reformed.
Okay. I like that response. I'm worried I'm getting sacrificed. Well, my crew isn't.
My crew knew what they were getting into, and it's the best. They know they're on the best ship. They're the best crew.
I got to say, I had Khan as a backup for counselor because he's so good with people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Khan has just been taken off the board. Woo! He's with his family. They're thrilled. They're all wearing Chris hats.
Is that like The Voice? What is that?
Oh, that's just like NFL.
It's like the NFL draft.
Oh, okay. Yes. Sports.
Branson, we have now snaked back to you, so you now get the final draft pick of round two and the first draft pick of round three.
Okay. Now these two, I want you to know, I'm doing this together. I don't want one of them to suffer. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want these two to be at each other's throats. I want them to know they're coming. It's, you know, when you have twins, the one who was born 2 minutes earlier sort of knows, you know, I don't want them thinking like that though. I want them thinking of themselves as a unit. Now, really quickly, Joe, just a clarifying question for the listeners, more than me, executive officer slash security officer. Mm-hmm. That's one position, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. I, you know, look, again, I had 6 days with this. I knew it. So for that role, I am drafting, you know him, you love him, Christopher Plummer as General Chang.
Yeah, dude.
That's right. Let's flip the once dogs more of into war. The breach, bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
I love him. Cool. I need more of him. He's in for my money, he's in the best Star Trek movie. That's my favorite one.
Yeah. Yeah. Four, but yeah.
Six, four.
Yeah,
I mean, look, four is so good.
Yeah.
Khan. I mean, Wrath of Khan's great. Undiscovered Country is just the one I watch the most.
Yeah, it's great. It is great. You're right.
And it's in a large part, it's due to him. I do think had something not exploded his ship, I think he was a pretty good guy. And I think I've got him in a good mood. But just to be sure.
Wasn't it Sulu that exploded his ship?
It was Sulu. Well, it was, it was actually neither of the, it was a conspiracy, but the,
No, because he was not the, like, he was, like, the, because there was, like, the Klingon president that was killed.
Right.
That was assassinated. But then he's the main villain of the movie. He's there at the end.
Yeah.
And then, like, they trick him.
Yeah.
And yeah, but isn't it just like Sulu and Kirk that blow up his ship?
But they're framed.
Yeah.
They're framed. No, but they're framed for the murder of the president.
I thought they were.
They kill him. They kill him hardcore. They kill him. Yeah.
They blow up the ship?
Hardcore.
Yeah.
Hmm. It feels like I watched it wrong when I saw it then. Regardless, I've got him. We can hash this out with him on my ship.
Yeah.
And I've got insurance. I've got something to take care of him. Who knows the Klingons better than you know her, you love her? Jadzia Dax, my captain.
Yeah,
oh, captain, baby. My captain, Jadzia Dax, swinging dick, drinking with Klingons till 2 in the morning. She's keeping him in line.
And, like, immortal knowledge for your captain. Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The only thing is, once every 7 years or something, a serial killer gets loose.
Yeah, there's a problem in there.
We also, that seems to be something that she's allowed to opt out. I believe the episode underlines, she's like, you don't have to bring that guy out if you don't want to. But she's like, no, I want to talk to him. And then he starts like going nuts. So there you go. My big two.
Okay. Those are nice. Big picks. Those are good picks.
And you see why I don't want them. I don't want to start them off with, or maybe I do. It's sort of the Klingon way.
Oh
yeah.
Maybe I do. We'll see. When we get to my ship.
Okay.
At orientation, at freshman orientation.
Yeah, we got already. There's a lot of elbows being thrown on my ship with Bones, Chang, and Dax.
Man, I should have made a sub rule about Trill symbiotes.
I was looking for it I was thinking of her.
Yeah, damn. I had the same thought.
Fuck. Yeah, we'll see if Ezri goes.
Well, if she doesn't have the symbiote, I mean...
Yeah, just Ezri.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, we're back to you.
All right. Getting interesting here. So, Joe, you said an executive or the security officer. And
yes,
depending on the ship, these are two pretty different duties. The executive officer is basically like making sure everything runs smoothly. The security officer can be the person who makes sure that, like, you know, exterior ship tactical is working as well as like interior security works. I appreciate the difference. And my choice is based off of like what everybody else is doing. So given my top choice, my top choice is for an executive officer. And that's got to be Data.
Oh.
Great choice.
Really strong pull. Can't honestly surprised he lasted this long.
Yeah, yeah.
Such a fave. Yeah.
If Data had gone, I had other choices for security officers that I would have pivoted to. But I'm taking Data for my executive officer. My number one is Data. Love it.
That's really good. That's really good. Tough. Another one that's tough to see off the board. Honestly, someone he was someone like y'all with Picard. I didn't even write him down because I was like, he's going to go. He's a hot commodity and he's going
to
go.
I will say, I have to just jump in to say a major kudos to Chris because I also didn't write him down. But when I think about it, probably all of my genuine favorite Star Trek episodes, he leads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like the time loop one where he has to remember he has three dots and not four, whatever. Mm-hmm, I can't remember that one, but like obviously Data's day.
Yeah.
Can I? It's just like he's good.
Is this a good segue to say my thing about Data that I
probably
we're talking about Data.
This is probably the best time.
We probably won't have a better.
Yeah.
I think Spock works really well in the original series, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think Vulcans in general work really well for television and the screen because it asks you to be a good actor. You know, it asks you to show, don't tell, and to show the struggle and to sort of like ask the audience to look for micro expressions. And so like when you get a good actor in there, it's really satisfying, like Nimoy. The thing about Spock is behind his eyes, he's mischief. He's like impish, you know. He's like sort of a little shit, and that's and also a very loving friend. The thing about Data, which is not really like the script asks us to believe at least at first that like he's naive, but like he's not necessarily sweet quite yet. You know, like he is an android. But the thing that you're watching in his performance is Brent Spiner do something amazing and fuck with the cast. Every time Data says something naively, I'm doing it now, but it's like tough to, he looks at them like daring them to laugh at him.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And frankly, like the cast on that show is very good and the cast works well together, and having that and having to play off of that, like, keeps you on your toes.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
As an actor.
I also want to say I intellectually agree with you, Branson, that Vulcans are like an exciting group to watch for like for the acting, but I do feel like they became, I don't know, Spock was supposed to be sort of an exception, but I feel like every Vulcan that we meet are all like repressed huge, but the emotions all come out and like there's a real like fight there in the exact same way that Spock.
This is my Branson had his Data. This is my 5 minutes on Vulcans.
Here we go.
Which is in the original series, Spock's dynamic with everyone is, you're a Vulcan. You don't have emotions. You would never have emotions. And then it's a fun reversal every time Spock does something that subverts that expectation. And they didn't really touch Vulcans in the original, in the Next Gen, which was smart you know, you have to rest it. But like JJ on, when they've done more Vulcan stuff, it is this like everyone in the writer's room has like been to therapy And so like, and a lot of like modern Star Trek, there's a lot of people being like, there, now the dynamic is like, everyone, like, you do have emotions. Which completely undercuts the game of Spock, you know?
Yeah.
And also it's like, it's great that everyone went to therapy. I think that's probably for the best. Yeah, but also it's like Vulcans are aliens. Happy,
thrilled for their families.
Yeah, lions don't go to therapy. That does, like if you're writing a story about lions, they don't necessarily like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, I hear it.
Okay. Is it me?
Fuck, I believe it's me. So.
Okay. Well. Yeah, we've seen Data go. We've seen some heavy hitters go again. I've got my captain. I've got my doctor. It seems like everyone's kind of pulling their XOs now. I also want someone that can like that can complement what I'm already building here. That can like keep it together. And so I think like I've got Picard as my captain. So for my XO, no surprises here. I'm drafting Gul Dukat.
Ah, yes. Nice.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Very good. Dude. Very good.
I want someone
who's a fascist.
Who is a fascist? Part of why I'm putting him here is that, like, you know, on the terms of it is reasonable he could serve in that role.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But it would kill him.
Yeah. You're hurting fucking, him.
You're drafting to torture
this is
characters.
A punishment.
It's no
and he would try to
me.
Undermine Picard at every turn. Mm. And I love that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. This is fun because now we're building
them.
A bridge.
Yeah. Yes.
I can see it. Like, Jean-Luc, of course I support you. I'm a reformed man.
Yeah.
I don't have any blood of an evil god that lived in a fire cave in me, Picard.
That's a good
Jean-Luc, it's I support you in wanting to preserve these people's culture. It's so valuable. Yes, but those dilithium deposits. Mm.
I also had, Dukat was among my choices here in the blend too. I'm glad he's gone to a good home.
Allie, it's back to you.
Okay. Okay, so I'm end of round three, end of round four, right?
Yep.
Okay. So I'm hoping that this is categorically sound.
Oh my god, you're gonna draft God again?
I want another God.
She's drafting the Holy Spirit.
I think
I'm drafting Gene Roddenberry himself.
I'm drafting the viewer. So I don't really believe this. I'm forcing puzzle pieces a little bit, but I still really want it to work. So that's just I want you to know where I'm coming from.
Okay.
Soft skills. I'm drafting a chef.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Of course.
I don't know
that's
the
where
chef
they go.
Is a
that
soft
is no. You're absolutely correct.
I had. I don't know if I said it out loud, but like in Slack, like I think I listed Neelix as one of the options.
Oh, you did. Amazing.
As an example. Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Are you
so? Sorry, I got excited. You know him. You love him. I'm drafting Joseph Sisko,
yep.
Captain Benjamin Sisko's dad from DS9, human, owns and chefs his own kitchen, Sisko's Creole Kitchen. He grows his own vegetables, very important when you're on a starship.
Yes.
And he's just a cool guy. I want to have him around.
The best free restaurant on earth.
Ugh.
I almost, you know, and he's, we got to say, because this rule is, you know, when these rules are in play, I got to acknowledge them. This is an example of Combs's bylaw, because the actor who plays Joe Sisko, Brock Peters, also, of course, plays Admiral Cartwright in Star Trek 4 and Star Trek 6. So, he's still available.
Oh, thank God.
Duplicitous Admiral.
Yeah, if you want the evil Admiral.
Good Admiral in 4, duplicitous Admiral in 6. He's available.
Actually, if I were to cast him, could I be like, but just 4? Just when he's good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I hope so, because
I specified
have...
that I wanted, like,
yes.
Like, you know, non-senile Picard.
Yeah. Yes, I think, know, yeah, you know? That's fair.
Giving it a like an episode range or like a
Yeah,
moment is good. Okay, great, great.
Season.
Oh yeah. By the way, when I want bones, I'm not getting elderly bones from the pilot of Next Gen.
Right. Crumbling bones.
Yeah, so. I'm getting bones from like.
I want you to have like the motion picture bones.
I know that's.
I want
the,
you to
I
have
want, like,
Leisure Suit Bones.
Wrath. Yo, yeah. I want him when he first shows up in Star Trek: The Motion Picture, and he looks like he invented cocaine.
Yeah. Okay, so Allie, yeah. We can confirm that your ship is going to have the best gumbo.
Yay!
Hell yeah, man.
Ugh. Okay, great. So moving on to security.
Ooh, hello.
Interesting.
And I can't remember how to pronounce her name, but I'm going for it. Loaxana Troy.
Oh yeah, no! Absolutely. Yes. Deanna for security, that's very interesting.
Yeah. Next gen.
I believe it's Loaxana.
Yeah, it's like Loaxana. Yeah, Loaxana.
Thank you.
Loaxana. It's a Loaxana. Combination of letters that you don't ever have in English.
It's
okay.
Wreaking havoc.
Yeah.
Okay. So the mother of Star Trek is your security officer.
She was my first pick for my soft skills officer, so that's off the board.
Oh my gosh.
But maybe not off the board because like you're picking her as your security officer.
Yeah.
But,
why so listen, security officer? So,
she's an ambassador and a big flirt. Great communication skills, can talk people down from, you know, from escalating a situation. Telepathic, able to collect information and
not
identify
telepathic,
threats.
Empathic.
Oh, what?
She's an empath. She's not a telepath.
Is that true?
Yeah. Yes.
What if he was lying?
Collecting emotions. Well,
that's made it up.
She's not a telepath. She has fire powers.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah,
great.
The betazoids
so she
are,
can
like, all emotional.
Collect information on emotions.
Okay.
De-escalate at the exact right moment. You know when someone's about to attack. Very, very
this.
Important. Actually, more important than telepath. Finally, married to Odo, who was chief security guy. And as we know from real life, when you get married, you inherit all your partner's skills and knowledge.
Yes, so true.
You have to listen to a lot, so... I think that's a good argument. And yes, security.
I love it.
You know what? I am here on Memory Alpha, and I do want to issue a correction, which is that full-blooded betazoids...
Yes, and she's full-blooded!
...are telepaths.
That's right.
Nice.
Oops.
Deanna's empathic, right?
Deanna,
oops to the boys.
Is only empathic.
Yes.
That's an oopsie for the boys.
Oh, I always thought it was that they were just more empathic. Like,
I did too, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
I do I think it's funny... And I've heard headcanon for this that I makes a lot of sense, that Deanna speaks with like a Greek accent.
Yes.
And her family doesn't, even though they're like way Greeker than she is. Like they don't yeah. speak. And it's because they're using translators and she learned to speak like Federation Common.
Oh.
And so she speaks with a betazoid accent, but you don't hear theirs. It's, it's
oh,
like
I love that.
The actual answer obviously is not that, but it's a fun headcanon.
The actual answer is that, like, Gene Roddenberry, like, told her to have an alien accent and then, like, forgot about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then so she showed up to shoot the pilot and was talking like that. And they're like, what are you doing that for? Okay, well, we do it for 7 years.
Yeah.
We know it's really hard for you, but you're stuck with it now. Okay, I guess we're allowing it. It seems like it's the mood of the room is that we're allowing
it. I think that was a great justification, and yeah, I think she'll do great.
Allie, do I notice a theme with your ship?
Oh, do you?
Yeah, it just seems to all be parents.
I can't believe you figured that out. Yeah. What an interesting theme. Let's see if it continues in the next few rounds.
Yes. Oh, fuck, it's back to me. My soft skills officers, I had three. One was Loaxana.
Yeah.
One was Vic Fontaine.
Oh, no.
Tough so stuff. I feel like
gotta
I have
claim
to,
one.
Or like I'm going to scramble.
Yeah.
So I feel like I have to do this now. So I'm going to draft Guinan.
There it
nice,
is,
dude.
You got it, man. You got it.
I want my 10 forward stocked.
Beautiful.
With real alcohol that I will not drink. Yeah. But
perfect.
She's great. Yesterday's Enterprise.
Great
come on.
Stuff.
And so, she'll be the one that is keeping Gul Dukat in line.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I bet he would fall in love with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Honestly, like, he responds to power.
I think you're right.
I almost had Guinan when I thought about doing an all chef's crew because Joseph Sisko is my first pull.
Yeah.
And then it turned out like that was hard.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The arguments were harder.
All right, Chris.
I'm going ship's doctor. I got to pull Bashir.
Oh. Great choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was on my list. This is a ship that loves computer people.
Yeah.
And augmented people.
Mm-hmm.
So there it is.
Wait, what's Bashir's augment? I don't.
Oh, he's got the same genetic modifications that Khan does.
Oh.
His parents had him genetically modified so he would be like super smart.
Yeah.
So he would like get into Starfleet Medical.
Yeah, he just like is super smart. That checks out.
Yeah, no, okay.
He threw the test to get second place so that it wouldn't draw attention to his parents.
Wow.
But that's why he, you know, I don't know that that they knew that when they first wrote the show, but like season one, when he shows up as like a whiz kid, you know, fresh, you know, excited to be on the frontier.
There he is.
Yeah.
Because he's a baby genius. Branson?
I cannot believe we are this far into the draft and neither of these have been taken. I'm grabbing some big boys here.
Yeah,
I know there are big boys out there.
There's a lot of big boys out there.
This is what it was like when I took Picard. This is when Data got grabbed. But like, there are big guys left.
I wonder if this is going to be a captain.
Already. Yeah. I've got my captain.
Okay.
I've got my captain with Jadzia Dax.
I cannot
believe I am able to do that. I was just able to pull it from original series. It's one of the engines that makes it work. The original Odd Couple. I'm pulling Mr. Spock as my
science
officer.
There it is.
Yeah. It's a really smart choice.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Now, it's fucking Spock, dude. Do I need to defend it? Like,
yeah.
And it's also the position he was in on the original. Like,
yeah.
Can I tell you though what your issue is going to be?
Sure.
Because he was widely expected to be a first round pick, coming into the season, he's gonna have a chip on his shoulder that he got drafted so late, and that's gonna be your problem to deal with.
That's gonna be McCoy's problem to deal with.
Yeah.
And he's gonna make it Spock's, and that is the engine that we don't even need the fucking warp drive. We've got the interpersonal conflict getting us forward. Now, speaking of interpersonal conflict.
Uh-oh.
And also, whoa. Not speaking of, but transitioning into Hubba Hubba, I'm grabbing for my engineer, my chief engineer. There's a bit of an explanation here, but I think you'll see where I'm coming from. I'm grabbing 7 of 9.
Oh, Hubba Hubba.
Who better to be the chief engineer than somebody who basically used to be a spaceship?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes,
she was on my list, and now she's gone. Now she's gone, and I blame you.
She's kind of on my list.
She's on a few of my lists.
Huge additions to the Branson crew.
That was the last pick of round 4 and the first of round 5. I cannot believe I got that. You would think to get them, I would have to settle for like the black and white face guy or something. You know,
I thought about the black and white face guy.
Frank Gorshin.
Oh man.
Yeah. I also thought about the Jason Alexander's character from Voyager.
He's never far from my thoughts.
He's like a little collector.
My friend Billy Domino, I've had for like almost a decade now, his icon on my phone when he calls me is that picture.
Great.
There is a Holozone character that I'm shocked is still on the board.
Shocked. Yeah.
I've got a couple that I hope I can have.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Sorry, I was grabbing Spock.
I was busy.
I mean, Branson, what you are pulling there is your favorite band is the Beatles.
Yes.
You are pulling like Paul and George.
Okay. And I want to tell you, you're drafting bassists. Paul McCartney is on the table. You're not going to take him?
You got an argument. It's fair.
I think
it's
got Ram alone. I could grab him.
Maybe connoisseurs. Who's to say?
Easy. Come on.
I mean, you got Spock. Sure. Allie got God.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Chris.
This is tricky, as I'm trying to outplay my friends. I'm going to go with my chief engineer, Moriarty.
There he is! That's him! That's what I was talking about!
And that's why I decided to pick him right now. Because you hinted at it, and I had to claim
Chris,
him.
Chris, that was what I was... he was about to be my science officer. It's about to be my science officer.
Well, I can't believe he hung out for that long. I genuinely
my whole organization is back here, like on the whiteboards, like erasing. Yeah. People are yelling.
Yeah.
Starting equations
over.
No
one's happy.
I'll be honest, I didn't think I'd get him, but he has been on my mind lately because my wife and I have been watching The Nanny.
Sure.
Hell yeah, dude. Oh, nice. Man.
That would put him on your mind.
Yeah.
Oh. Holy okay. shit, the fashion on that show?
Yeah, Chief anyway. Engineer Moriarty, another hologram come to life on this ship that I will not name until I have named the entire crew.
it's the reveal in the last episode is going to be Bashir being like, wait, the ship, and it like disappears.
just to make this text. If we're looking at, like, I haven't drafted a science officer yet.
Neither have I.
Like, Spock's off the board. Dax is off the board.
Neither.
Data's off the board. Seven of Nine is off the board.
Yeah.
Moriarty's off the board, who was going to be my deep cut pick.
I thought he was going to be somebody's captain. I thought somebody was just going to go wild.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a great pick for Moriarty captain.
As an option for multiple positions.
Yeah.
I mean, when he has the entire like knowledge of the Enterprise at his disposal, like he could fill a lot of roles.
Mm hmm. That's true.
Damn, Chris.
Damn.
I am going to select as my science officer. I'm going to pull Dr. Gillian Taylor.
Oh.
From Star Trek IV: The Voyage Home.
Wow. Oh my God, dude.
Whoa. Okay.
Wait, who is
she?
That?
Is the marine biologist.
Of course. Of course.
Played by the mom from Seventh Heaven.
Who could forget?
Oh my God, amazing.
Who has some unspoken sexual tension with Kirk, finds out he's from the future, travels with him and the crew of the Enterprise 300 years into the future to repopulate the whales and get the aliens away, and then is like, yeah, I'm going to stay, and I'm not going to stay with you. I'm going to go be a Starfleet scientist on my own. The 80s sucked. I'm here in the future, and I'm loving it.
Yeah.
She's got some joie de vivre, and I respect it.
Isn't she in Undiscovered Country or something? Like, doesn't she, don't you, like, I, see her in a group shot or
I think
something?
I think she might get mentioned.
Oh, that's what, okay.
But she is, like, at the end of four, she is, like, peace out. I'm going to go like explore the galaxy.
That's why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But you're a fucking whale doctor or some shit. Like, oh, yeah.
I will never see my family again. Couldn't affect me less.
Yeah. Also, there's no time to tell them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if she's not someone that I think was necessarily on anyone else's list, but I feel confident in that pick and I'm glad to have her.
Mm.
Great choice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm gonna pick Hot on Your Heels. I'm also gonna pick my science officer, and since Seven of Nine is gone, I'm gonna pick Erin Hansen, Seven of Nine's mom, Voyager, human pre-assimilation.
Wow. Okay.
She's fearless in the pursuit of knowledge.
Oh, that's good.
She and her husband were the first scientists to study the Borg. They did it for more than 3 years. They passed
through
Romulan.
How'd that work out for them?
Poorly. Quite poorly.
Okay.
This is shame.
Listen, sure, things didn't end up well for Monsieur Curie, but they got a Nobel Prize out of it, right?
Yeah. That's the thing.
Do any of us end our lives alive?
Honestly, that's the way I'm looking at it. I think she would be extraordinary and would new frontiers is truly, truly a philosophy that she will stick to. So anyway, that's what I'm picking for science officer. Erin Hansen.
This is explaining a text you sent me, Allie.
Okay, round six.
Okay, right. here we go.
Okay, so engineer, Henry Archer, Captain Jonathan Archer's dad, Enterprise. Jesus. Human. He developed the Warp 5 engine.
Oh, that's good
helped
for him.
Helped design the Enterprise NX-01. Then there's something about a flux paradox.
Yeah.
And he has a simple but foolproof philosophy, which he does impart on his son. Don't fail.
Oh, that's a bad philosophy, I think, actually, yeah, tough, for a parent to give to a child.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you're like, you want an engineer to not fail.
Well, but they need to have room, you know, to...
Yeah.
You know what?
You gotta have to have room to fail. You gotta have the freedom to fail.
That's putting an expectation
of success.
When I'm in space, I want a guy who's not gonna fail.
Yeah,
I don't know. We're not experimenting in space.
He wasn't raising a painter. He wasn't
That's
raising
true.
A jazz
you know, I,
musician.
I have the artists.
Yes.
Sure. If you want to be a, if you want your kid to be a poet, sure.
Fail. Yeah. Fail big. Fail bigger, and then succeed biggest. Yes. But we're talking about engines in space.
Okay.
Yeah, we're talking hard sciences. Allie, I think you're right.
You know what? Big fair. Big fair.
Yeah.
Big fair.
Okay.
Okay. God, I was definitely going to pick that guy.
Sorry, Chris.
Sorry. And I definitely still remember his name.
Yeah.
You do. You do
Archer.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, I feel like I have to pick my chief engineer now. There are some big ones still, pretty much like...
There's a lot of big ones. There's plenty of big ones around.
The main engineers are all still available.
Yeah.
Scotty is still available. Yeah. Geordi's still available.
As is O'Brien and Reginald Barclay.
O'Brien.
Yep.
Barclay. A nice Irish man.
B'Elanna Torres. Carol Kane on Strange New Worlds.
Oh, she's great.
She's fun. She's having fun.
Yeah.
I'm thinking a lot about Geordi, but I think I'm going to go with another pick that is going to get some blank stares, and then I'll explain, and then you'll be like, oh, yeah. So my chief engineer, I am going to select Dr. Leah Brahms, who is the Starfleet engineer that Geordi recreates the hologram of.
Yes.
Oh, my
yes.
God.
Falls in love with the hologram.
Yeah.
Meets the actual human.
Yep.
The next season, and she's like, who the fuck are you?
Who the fuck are you? Why'd you? Yeah. And I'll tell you what, don't let Reginald Barclay around that hologram. He's got...
Oh.
I wish they had done more episodes like that that spoke to the nerds that watched that show. They're like, hey, don't make a fantasy version of a person you know and fall in love with them.
It's such a fun like use of an episodic show to have the expectation of the audience that you will never see this character again.
Yeah.
And then to pull the rug out from under Geordi a season later and be like, yeah, you got to meet the real person. You're not going to click. You're not gonna have any chemistry. She's going to be like engaged and you're going to feel awful. But the point is, you know, one of the chief designers of the Enterprise D.
Nice.
One of the top talents in Starfleet. I'm lucky to have her.
Yeah, well
and,
said.
And not the hologram version, the flesh.
I think a great choice.
Something about saying the flesh actually kind of like ruined
Joe
it.
Joe picked the flesh.
The
Joe's
flesh.
Picking the flesh. And this is a rule I should have, this is something I could have stipulated too, but I didn't want to give her away.
Yeah.
Allie, you don't like Joe's pick of the flesh.
Oh, I got quieter when you said it. Oh.
What, when I said the flesh?
No, Joe, make him stop.
I can't.
Okay, I'll go really loud. The flesh!
Yay!
Okay, Chris.
I'm gonna go for my science officer. I'm going to go with the interstellar financier Brack.
Nice.
You guys know this character?
No, who's that?
Okay, he has some aliases. So he is also known as Johannes Brahms or Leonardo da Vinci, the Wizard Merlin, Jesus Christ's friend Lazarus, or Alexander the Great, or King Solomon, or Methuselah, the oldest man in the Bible, or AKA Flint the Immortal.
Oh.
Flint the Immortal is my science officer from the original series.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah. He did all of that stuff. So yeah, he is Leonardo da Vinci. He is King Solomon. He is Brahms.
Excellent.
Yes. A very smart and old man is my science officer.
Really good. Really good. Someone I never would have thought of, but great pull.
Thank you. Flint the Immortal.
Fantastic.
Good episode too. Fun one. He's very jealous of Kirk, honing in on the lady that he hangs out with.
To be perfectly honest, like, the stakes couldn't be more non-existent for this podcast recording.
Uh-huh.
But when you draft a character that I had to be reminded existed, I do feel a little relief.
Of course.
That some of my faves are still on the table.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You're pulling, you know, Khan, you've got some original series, not like Branson.
Look, I would have done the whole thing original series if I could. Now, yeah. Unless I'm mistaken,
I don't think there are any big characters left from the original series. That
oh, says you. Says you. Buddy, I'm grabbing two right now. One is original series straight up. No argument. The other, there is an argument, and I'm going to make it. What?
I do want to like make it clear to you and the listener that you will also now be drafting your sixth and then your final pick.
That's true.
So you're setting your team in stone.
Oh my god.
I am.
There will be no further opportunities. So like make it count, buddy.
You're right.
All I gotta say. Make it fucking count.
Okay. I'm following my heart on this. And I'm saying goodbye to a heavy hitter. One I really liked a lot, but I'm not doing it because I am interested in making my ship my way. We got an original series vibe on my ship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when people are not original series, they're still, the vibe is the vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like
we are having some Cold War fun on my ship.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Which is why for my soft skills officer, I am casting, and I know I'm going to get blank stares on this one, Kalinda from a single episode of the original series, played by the beautiful star of a million Italian giallos, Barbara Boucher.
Oh my god.
You know, I got to do it my way. I did it my way.
When you said that, I was like, okay. Vic Fontaine's been drafted.
No. And look, I would have, and I was pissed, but she was a Kelvin. She's from the Kelvin Empire. She knew very little about human emotions and the subtleties of human interactions. And I figure, what better way for her to learn the ins and outs than as my ship's counselor?
Beautiful.
I've got a beautiful ship so far, and it's only going to get more beautiful with my wild card pick. Folks,
oh my god,
by the way, we've ended this round. This is the beginning of the last round.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bring it home.
Yeah. Bring it home.
I've been doing my ship for all of us, but not quite all of us. There's one demographic who has not been served. You're going to know him when I say this name. I am drafting for my wild card pick, Maress. Thought that would get a bigger reaction. She is the sexy Catwoman from Star Trek, the animated series.
Oh yeah.
Sure.
I looked at my list and I said, the furries have got, their well has run dry. They are wandering the desert. And I said, no, I'm opening the door. Welcome to the land of milk and honey.
Wow. Hot ship.
If you consider Chang and Bones to be hot, as I do, it's a very hot ship.
Yeah.
Well done.
Very good.
Well done.
Very good. Very good.
Okay, Chris.
All right. All that is left is my wild card. Here's the thing with my ship. The Federation has managed to figure out how to use Borg tech. And my wild card is the Borg Queen.
Oh, yes.
Chris, she's going to assimilate your whole crew.
No, she's not. She's not like that anymore.
A lot of Chris's are like, no, that's not going to happen.
Chris is invincible.
Chris, you have Data. She's going to fuck Data.
No. Well, yeah, but it's going to be fine. They're going to be okay with it. It's going to be juicy drama. Joe, I have assembled a ship that not only is going to be the most powerful ship, but also provide a really great, at least one season of television.
This ship's called Good TV.
And Chris, Ellie drafted God.
Okay.
It was over immediately.
But counterpoint, it's not the real God.
Ugh, it's true.
Why does God need a spaceship, etc.? All right, very good. My wild card is the Borg Queen running the only Federation Borg cube.
I'm excited about that. I love that. I'm very happy.
Thank you.
This is great.
With Captain Khan.
All right. I am going to... I also have left my wild card to the end. I've got someone that I am similarly... like, could have gone very early. And there are some huge characters. No one has drafted Ben Sisko.
Yeah.
It's true.
No one has drafted Captain Kirk.
Yep.
No one has drafted Miles O'Brien.
My God.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to either, because for my wild card,
wow,
I'm going to draft Q.
No!
Oh, gorgeous. Very good.
I hate Q.
Q is
yeah, but don't you love to hate him?
Q is on my list,
but I do hate him
as well. But a theme emerged, and I had to not go for it.
Yeah,
I hate to hate him. I love him.
Q more powerful than the god that Ellie chose, I say.
My theme is that my crew is like all like pretty strong willed and like would sell each other out.
Yeah,
except for Picard, who has to try and keep them all together.
Oh no.
What happens when these Star Trek characters stop being polite?
My theme, I gotta say, is nobody can tell Gene Roddenberry no.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. That's a great theme.
I'm proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
Allie, I don't think you have a theme, but if you want to go ahead and make your final pick.
Yeah. So last, but not least, I can believe that he wasn't drafted, but you're all wrong. This is my doctor. And he doesn't fit into my bit perfectly, but I'm shoehorning him in. I'm picking Phlox from Enterprise. Denobulan.
Yeah.
It's a species. Now, he's not the parent of a primary Star Trek character.
Yeah.
But he does have 3 wives and 5 kids.
Oh.
That's wonderful.
So he
three
is.
3 wives.
Unless that's looked down upon in his culture.
It is not.
In which case.
It is extremely supportive. What a family man.
Great.
So Phlox, welcome aboard. You're a doctor. You're a doctor.
Allie coming in with the only Enterprise picks. Not a shocker.
Yeah. I really was like, I think I can just go ahead and wait on these ones.
Yeah. Fair.
And that's it.
All right. So there we go.
Beautiful.
The camera cuts now to the Kirk family, where people have stormed off.
Yes.
Oh my God.
They've been watching. They had the signs up like, we love you, Kirk. First round.
Waxana is trying to console Deanna Troi. Knowing, but it's an awkward dynamic because she's been picked and her daughter hasn't.
Boy, I had Odo as a second choice for a lot of spots.
Oh.
Yes,
and Worf. And I got my weirder first choices.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to say I got my laser feelings because I didn't have a single backup.
Oh, beautiful work.
Beautiful work.
Nice one.
Thank you.
Yeah, dude.
Do we want to talk about some of our honorable mentions?
Yes. Would love to.
Yeah.
My alternate captains were Pike from Strange New Worlds.
Yeah, definitely.
Lore.
Yeah. Hmm. I had Lore as a soft skills guy.
Yeah. And as a fun choice, I had Captain Morgan Bateson, who is the captain that Kelsey Grammer plays.
Oh,
in
well.
Next Generation,
sure.
Where his ship is caught in a time loop and he doesn't know it.
Yeah.
That's just a fun one. Yes. I also, it was very close on my wild card on picking Mark Twain.
Me too. I had Mark Twain on soft skills.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Okay. That was another one that I was like, okay, that guy's gone.
I forgot about him.
that checks out. That makes sense.
My XO was almost Lieutenant Castillo, who Christopher McDonald plays in Yesterday's Enterprise. Mm. A guy that like almost exclusively plays heels. And then in that one episode, he plays the most like, gosh darn likable guy who's doomed to die.
I had a few wild cards. One, the big one, was Garrick.
Yeah.
Mm.
I really wanted Garrick. And to be honest, I up until the last second, I went with Mareth because I had considered O'Brien and Garrick. And as soon as Bashir was gone, it felt wrong to separate them.
Oh, that's sweet.
It didn't. I would rather they die than not be with Bashir. so I didn't do them. And I was considering if it got down to it, they're from like episode 6 of Next Generation, the like fish headed guys who just show up, who are played. One of them is played by Mick Fleetwood in like heavy makeup.
What? That's fun.
The planet, the like sexually preposterous planet where where Wesley almost gets killed because he like
trip on the flowers, you idiot.
Yeah.
Oh.
So first time watching through Next Gen, I get why people don't like the first season. Second time watching through Next Gen.
Oh yeah.
First season's a blast because it's so fun. Like if you've seen all the way through, you know, you've seen like the inner light and everything, like to then see Picard. Where it's like, I'm on a planet of slime. It's very funny.
It is very fun to watch super serious Picard season one.
Have we named any of our ships?
No, let's do our names. Let's kick it off.
I'm being mean. Mine is the USS Abrams.
Great.
Nice. Nice.
Very good. So my ship with the Captain Khan. XO Data, ship's Dr. Bashir, chief engineer Moriarty, science officer Flint, and counselor Vic Fontaine, run by the Borg Queen, the USS Hinckley Jr.
Nice.
Nice. And Branson, don't you look a fool for not listing your whole crew.
Yeah, well, I trust the audience to remember the unmistakable... the unforgettable characters such as Kalinda.
who it looked like you were reading.
I was. I forgot her name.
Yeah.
I remember Barbara Boucher's name. I don't remember
Kalinda. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
All right. Go around, you know, my crew needs a home. We got Jean-Luc Picard. We got Gul Dukat. We got the Doctor. We got Guinan. We got Dr. Gillian Taylor. We got Dr. Leah Brahms. And we got Q. And, you know, the Enterprise, of course, is not only the name of a ship, but it's also the name of a proud American corporation. And with that in mind, they will be serving aboard the USS Alamo.
Nice.
Very good.
Speaking of unforgettable.
They will be remembered.
Okay, well, what do you call a ship with Ishka, Loixana Troy, Aaron Hansen, Phlox, Henry Archer, Joseph Sisko, and God, the USS Mothership.
Oh,
there we go.
I'm pregnant.
Oh my God, is this it?
Is this the announcement?
The Bell House is this week.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this after the Bell House, you fucked up not going. But if you haven't.
This is airing 2 days before the Bell House show, which, you know, even if you're not a Rude Tales fan, come and see it. We're gonna be there and it's gonna be fun. But a lot of Rude Tales, some segment of Rude Tales listeners who are going to the show won't have heard this.
You may notice, you may be one of the few who finds out or notices that I have a large belly now and it's full of baby.
It's not just food in there, folks.
But it's also food. Anyway, yay.
Allie, congratulations. You're hearing it here first. We didn't talk about this beforehand, but now it does make sense why you texted me 10 minutes into the recording. When does this air?
When does this air? Pregnancy announcement, question mark.
Question mark, question mark.
And yeah, we're so excited to welcome little Bello into the world.
Yep.
Yeah, gosh. Many blessings upon little thread count.
These are all accurate. Yeah. You can have as many middle names as you want, actually. Yeah. So
little everything and everyone else.
Good night, folks.